Mark. Sisters and brothers and siblings, would you join me in prayer? God above, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the scripture that we read today, you could probably walk into just about any small Baptist church in the area where I grew up, down in South Carolina. And if this was the scripture that the minister had picked for the day, I can tell you what the sermon would be about. It would be about how Jesus is coming back and you better be ready. Full stop. He might tell some fun stories along the way, but that's the arc. That's the arc you would get. That Jesus is coming back. You better be ready. So act right, because it could happen tonight. Maybe you've been good and your wife hasn't, so you're going to vanish and your wife's going to be left all alone. Maybe that could happen. I mean, Susan, worship leading, I know you just backslide. Yeah. Backslider. But, I want to put a but in here. I think there's something about that kind of analysis that's put so critically in the future. So critically in one day it's going to happen. It could be tomorrow, but it could be one day, that it actually encourages you to kind of sit back and rest. It's so out there that it's not here. So I want to tell you what I think about when I read the scripture and think about keeping watch. And it's not the future, it's the past. I think about how whenever it was time for bed, and maybe my dad growing up was a singer-songwriter, he would go around places to perform, maybe he was getting in late, or maybe mom was getting in late. She was a minister, so she could be out at the hospital visiting people or doing a house call. Whenever one of my parents was going to be late, the other one would say, "Madison, before you go to bed, go turn on the porch light. Go turn on the porch light." So the thing that comes to mind for me in keeping watch was turning on that light for someone else. And then to move just a little bit further forward, but still in the past, I think about how when I got old enough to drive and be out on my own at night, I would be getting home and someone would have turned on the porch light. But even bigger than that, even bigger than the porch light, if when I got in, there would be someone awake there at the house, right? Like, I wasn't just walking in and going to bed on my own. My mother was there, and she was ready to welcome me home, ask me how my night was out, maybe if I was out a little too late, you know, tell me not to do that again, and maybe even have a meal in the oven if you knew I wasn't going to have had dinner that night. And so there was always someone waiting. So when I think about setting a watch, that's what I think about. I don't think about being prepared for the judgment day. I think about the quiet love of a family creating a space where their other family members can come home welcomed and come home feeling like someone's watching out for them. But I don't want to leave it there. I think that the structure of the watch goes deeper. And it was actually a structure I was sitting down with the scripture, because pretty much that story was all I had about this time yesterday. And I would have said, "That's great, God loves you, adios," and we'd be done with the sermon. And so I knew I needed some more, and so I sat down and started working and reading the scripture. And I read through the scripture that Rudy read, worked through it several times, read through it again, and was getting nowhere. And so I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the next few verses and see what the next few verses have to say. This is left out in the lectionary for reasons that I understand. It's a little bit more forceful than the prior verses, a little bit harder to deal with. But I think it's critical to understanding what God is saying to us in this passage. So it continues after Jesus has spoken to them about keeping watch and the master would be returning. And Peter says, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone?" And the Lord said, and naturally Jesus doesn't answer the question. Jesus never answers the question. "Who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of the servants to give them their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all that he possesses. But if the servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and if he begins to beat the other servants, men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he does not know, and will punish him and put him with the unfaithful." And what I got from that is that it's about more, keeping watch is about more than just a single solitary person with that porch light on and that meal in the oven. It's about more than just that one person. It's about how we are a community of servants to God, and we watch out for one another. We watch out for one another. I was on Facebook this week, and if you're on Facebook at all, and you look at it at all, it's a mess right now, folks. It is a mess, because everyone's mad about everything. Everyone's mad about Donald Trump. They're mad about Hillary. Everyone's mad about bigotry. Everyone's mad about injustice. And I saw a friend post late last night. He's like, "I'm looking around here, and I see that everyone is sharing things that make them feel outraged. And I just need to take a break." And I think keeping a watch is important. I think keeping an eye on the ways that our politics can hurt people, the way that we can exclude and divide people, is important. But my friend needed a break. It's hard to be that clued in and engaged all the time. And so part of being servants of God is that we step in for each other when someone needs a break. We say, "That's fine, you go take some rest." Because this watch is important. Our watch on one another and our watch on the world is important. But we need to give people time to rest. So part of that watch is that we are a community that works together to do the work that God wants us to do. But no one person has to do all that work all the time in every way. It's not all on their shoulders. None of us is Jesus. We are servants of Jesus. And to be wise servants of our master is to take care of the other servants that we're called to do this work with, and not to let someone go hungry, not to let someone get tired, not to let someone lose focus because they're so overworked and burdened by the work that they can't function anymore. And then the last thing I want to raise out of the passage, the last movement of what it means to be a faithful watchman, faithful person on the watch, is the thief. Is the thief. So the scripture says that the master would not leave the house if the thief would come. And the thief will come and surprise you. But the scripture makes it sound like the thief is God. The thief is God. Later on in Thessalonians, which is the first oldest letter of Paul, Paul says that the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. And I'm reminded every time I read these passages where our God is reckoned as a thief, I'm reminded of an email forward I received some years ago now. I forget who sent it. It was It was probably a member at one of the churches I was at, and I read through it, and it was about how, it was about illegal immigration, and how all these people want to give folks who haven't come to this country legally our food stamps. They want to give them, driver's license, et cetera, et cetera. But what would you do if you came home and you found a thief in your house? Would you give them all your food? And would you lie them down in your bed? And went on and on like that. And all I could think about was that the person who sent it to me was a Christian who believes that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Incarnate One, God with us, Emmanuel, will come to them like a thief in their house. And all they could think about was how they wanted to punish the thief. I think the message of the passage, brothers and sisters and siblings, is that when you keep watch, you're keeping watch so that you can take care of the thief. And that when the thief walks into your house, you say not, "Get out of here," or "I'm going to call the cops." You say, "What do you need from me? Do you need food? Do you need shelter?" That's what it means to be a Christian. That we are not scared of losing our riches in this world where moth and rust break in and steal them, but we build for ourselves a house in heaven where we know that all will be provided for. And so that when God finally comes back from the great wedding banquet, he finds a new wedding banquet at our house. A wedding banquet where thieves and sinners and liars have gathered together to find grace from us. Grace from us. And so I want to go back to my mother. Because when she sat on the couch with food in the oven waiting for me to come home, it was because she loved me. And the most powerful watch we can set is the watch where the love we have for our family, the love we have for our community gathered here, and the Christian community in the whole world, becomes the love we have for the thief. Because God is going to come to us like a thief. God is going to come to us in the form of someone we don't expect. God is going to come to us in the form of someone who scares us. And if we are going to learn to welcome God, we have to learn to welcome them. That is what it means, sisters and brothers, to set a faithful watch. Go and do likewise. Thanks be to God.